Good morning. This is our first Sunday back in East London, so I want to wish you a happy new year. Take out your Bibles and turn over to the book of 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3. In 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter talks about the end of the world. In verse 1 he says, "Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Saviour through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, 'Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation.' But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. For the day of the Lord will come, like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness." Now, we've just started, for the beginning of the year, we've started a new topic which we're focusing on, and it's entitled The Treasure Principle. And we're talking about just what should our focus be. By the way, Paul, do we have a clicker for the PowerPoint? We're discussing what should our focus be. You know, we started last Sunday when we met together in central London, we had Bohan kick off The Treasure Principle. And he talked about, from Matthew chapter 6, just this whole idea of do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. And he talked about storing up treasure in heaven. And you know, that needs to be our focus, is that we're not living for this life. The Bible tells us that this life is all going to pass away. And everything in this world will pass away. The heavens, the earth, it'll all be destroyed by fire. And everything we've invested, materially-wise, in this world, it's all going to go. You know, we talked about this on Friday night. And for those of you who weren't here on Friday night, we had a fantastic review of last year, 2013. And we had a slideshow. And just in case you felt short-changed, I thought I'd put together my own slideshow this morning. So anyway, this is for you. Happy New Year. And so I thought, just all throughout as a message as I speak, I'll include a few slides. These weren't the ones we showed on Friday, just so you know. But yeah, we've got to make sure that we have the right focus. We've got to make sure that we make the right choices. You know, last year, there are a number of people who made some fairly poor choices. This is Happy New Year in sign language. I don't know if you knew about that, but as they had a guy doing sign language at Mandela's memorial service, and what a poor choice. But anyway, the other poor choices were made on that day as well. There was the Obama selfie poor choice. You know, for all of us, we've got to make sure that we don't make the poor choices. And you know, on uh, on On Friday, we talked about, we just had a brief class on the treasure principle. We're just talking about just this whole idea of what is really important. You know, for when we became Christians, think back to when you became a Christian. For those of you who are Christians, when we got saved, do you remember what it felt like to be a brand new creation? Do you remember how we felt just about our Christianity, about our Christian life that lay before us? Do you remember how just there was that excitement and that zeal and that passion that we all felt? There was a sense of, this is all new and I'm excited about living my Christian life. But you know what so often happens is, as Christians, it's so easy for us to lose that initial excitement and that initial zeal. You know, the Bible talks about this in Revelations 2, where it talks about forsaking our first love. And the same thing occurs in marriages. You know, you get married, and what happens? You're fired up about your relationship at the start of your marriage, but over time, it's so easy for us to start taking one another for granted. It's so easy for that spark to go out of our relationship with God, our relationship with our spouse. But the same is true in our relationship with God. We can lose that passion that we once had, and we've got to make sure that we don't let it slip by. We've got to make sure that we maintain that zeal and that passion. And when it comes to our walk with God, we have got to have that spirit of, you know what, I want to keep this fresh every time. And, you know, the start of a new year is an opportunity for us to have a review, as it were, of how are we doing. And we're talking about this whole idea of the treasure principle, because we've got to take stock of where we really at. How are we doing in terms of our walk with God? How are we doing in terms of giving to God? How are we doing in terms of just making sure that God is number one in our lives? You know, what Peter reminds us of in chapter 3, he says in verse 10, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Every single thing that we have, that we own, all our savings, all our achievements, all our accomplishments, you know, the positions we've achieved, everything, it's all going to disappear. It's all going to be destroyed. And the only thing that's going to last is what we've invested in eternity. It's our eternal treasure, not our earthly treasure. The only thing that's going to matter is our relationship with God and the people we've helped to find a relationship with God. Everything else will disappear. And we need to be reminded of this. We need to be reminded. You know, on Friday we talked about the first key, and there are a number of different keys we want to focus on throughout this month to help us understand the treasure principle. But the first key is that every single thing belongs to God in the first place. Everything that we have, it's all God's. Your bank account, it's not yours, it's God's. Even your talents and your abilities, they're not yours. God gave them to you. In fact, when we become Christians, the Bible says that we are not our own. That we were bought with a price. So we've got to honor God of our bodies. The Bible tells us that even our own bodies no longer belong to us. That it's all God's. Everything belongs to God, but sometimes we forget that fact, and we start acting as if everything is our own. And so when it comes to our giving, what happens is we begin to hold tighter to our possessions. We feel like it's ours, and we don't want to give it. It's the old saying, we want our cake and to eat it as well. It's this sense of, this is mine, hands off, don't touch. But that's not the way it's meant to be. We have to remember and remind ourselves, the first key is everything belongs to God. By way of illustration, I just want to show you a video clip, just to help us understand this, all right?
I think the biggest struggle that most of us have regarding finance and the kingdom of God and giving God our money, and Sean and I have had... I think the biggest struggle that most of us have regarding finance and the kingdom of God and giving God our money, and Sean and I have had multiple issues where we were looking at the bills and looking at our money, and this part goes to God. If you guys go by the tithe, I want you to know the tithing is of the law. We don't preach tithe here. We preach tithe as a guideline. It's the law is fulfilled. Jesus is the offering. But for us, you know, tithe is the 10%. That's where we start. We start with a 10% guideline because it's an Old Testament principle. So we don't throw it out, right? It's fulfilled. And so we walk in. Just like if we got ideas of prayer in the Old Testament and we bring it into the New Testament, then it works. If we get ideas of money from the Old Testament, we bring it into the New Testament, it works. So the tithe is the beginning for us. You see, God owns it all. And He does. And you say, well, give me a good illustration. Okay, I'll give you. How many of you raised kids? Raised children. You ever take them to McDonald's? Yes. You ever bought them French fries from McDonald's? Yes. Well, all the boys, I took them to McDonald's, bought them French fries. We get in the car. I didn't buy myself any. I wasn't hungry. But when I smelled their fries, right? Well, when I reached over to get one of Brian's fries, it's like, get back, dog! Right? Well, the real question is, who owns the fries? It's like this. I made you. I can take you out, right? Right? Who owns the fries? See, they were presented to you as a gift. But here's the point. See, when it comes to our money, we have the same mentality. The mentality is God says the tithe is mine. And when God reaches for the tithe, we don't want to be saying, get back, dog. Right? Why? Because it belongs to Him. And it's given not because of the law, but because of a spirit of gratefulness. How many of you are glad to be saved? Isn't it wonderful to be saved? It's so wonderful to be saved. If you could think about it for a minute, if you could pay for salvation, and you can't. But if you could, would 10% be too much? I don't think so.
You know, the fact is, it's so easy for us to forget who owns what. God owns everything. And everything that we have is courtesy of God and God alone. And God wants us to not only to keep that fact in mind, but He also wants us to not get drawn to our possessions. You know, sit back for a second to Matthew chapter 6. We've looked at this passage before, but just as a reminder, Matthew chapter 6. Because key number one is everything belongs to God. But key number two is that where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, it's a simple reality that wherever we invest our money, our heart follows. If you happen to buy yourself some stocks and shares, then you suddenly take an interest in how those stocks and shares are doing. If you buy yourself a house, then you take an interest in how making sure that the house is cared for. If you buy yourself, I don't know, a gift or a present or whatever it is, your heart follows. Where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. You know, when I was a kid, our next door neighbors, they weren't next door, they were right beneath us. We lived in this house, and there were four families in the same house. And right below us, there was a family that lived below us who we were very close to. And the older son, friend, we treated each other like family, so he would be like my cousin. He was about 6 years older than me. But I remember when he started an apprenticeship working for a silversmith. And one time he came back from his apprenticeship, and he had this piece of silver, a shaving, that it was discarded. And he brought it back, and it was solid silver. And he showed it to me. And I was like, wow, I must have been about 7 years old at the time. But he showed it to me, and I thought, wow, that's silver, that's really valuable. And he said, here, take it, and he gave it to me. And it wasn't just a little sliver, we're talking, it was quite a big old chunk. And I'm sure these days they have rules about apprentices taking away odds and ends of silver. But back then I thought, this is fantastic, I'm going to keep this, and one day when I grow up I'll melt it down and I'll make something valuable, and it'll be a lot of, I'm 7 years old, I'm thinking this is valuable. But for someone else it was just something discarded. But for me, it was valuable, and I hid it in my drawer. I didn't have a drawer. We all had drawers, and I just hid it in a drawer. And all throughout the day, and through the coming days, I'd go back and check to make sure my little hoard was there. And you know, it's funny, because that's the way life is. If you have something that you treasure, your heart follows. That's the second key we've got to understand. That where your treasures, there your heart will be also. So what does that mean for us? Well, what it means for us is this. We want to ensure that we place our treasure where we want our hearts to go. If the earth is going to be destroyed by fire and everything in it is going to be burnt up, where do we want to keep our treasure? Well, not on earth. Jesus says, store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. You know, it's so easy for us to make poor choices with our money. What does it mean, literally? What does it mean to throw up treasure in heaven? Well, number one, the Bible talks about giving financially, giving to God. The reason why God wants us to give is not because he needs our money, but because he wants our heart. Giving, amazingly enough, is for our benefit and not for God's. The fact is, God can make something out of nothing. He's done it before, he can do it again. He doesn't need anything that we own, it's all his in the first place. But he wants us to give because he wants our heart. The crazy thing is, we can make such poor choices when it comes to money. We can value money more than relationships. We can value money more than our relationship with God, even. But you know, we've got to have it on our heart. We've got to understand that it's the most important thing is not our money. It's where our heart is going to go. It's making sure that we make right choices. In life, we sometimes make some very poor choices. In life, sometimes there are some things that we do which we look back on and we think, that wasn't a wise choice. That wasn't sensible. You know, sometimes we make choices that are sadly not so easy to change. Sometimes we make choices that we live to regret. And, you know, there's going to come a day, and even as Jesus talked about, there's going to come a day when the poor choices we've made will be irrevocable. Can you imagine immediately after life ends what it's going to be like? Immediately after life ends, I guarantee you every single one of us will have sudden instant clarity over how we should have spent our time, over how we should have spent our money, over where we should have placed our focus. But immediately after we die, there's going to be no opportunity for change. And that's what makes this new year such a fantastic opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to right now decide and to choose, how do I want to spend the rest of my life or the rest of the time that God has lost to me? How do I want to invest that so that I don't have any regrets when it all comes to an end? So that I don't make the wrong choices. So that I do put God first. You know, there are so many idols that we can have in our lives. And by idols, I'm not just talking about pop idols. I'm not just talking about pop stars and that kind of stuff. This was a sign, by the way, that was put up in London Underground last year when One Direction were premiering down in central London. I love the very straightforward humour of whoever made the sign. But you know, we can have different idols in our lives, and they can vie for our attention, they can vie for our heart and our passion, even without us realizing it. So we can get sucked into what the world values, we can get sucked into what society looks up to, instead of having the right spirit and the right heart of it's God who takes our number one place in our life. That it's God who we focus on. Sorry, no offense to Justin Bieber here. If you can't read that, this is a picture of an animal that can emit high-pitched noises and hurt or damage humans' ears. That other thing, that's a dolphin. And if you're not a Bieber fan... You know, in Matthew 6, what Jesus says here is this. He says in verse 25, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, the body more important than clothes?" You know, in this passage, we're presented with choices. The first choice is, where are you going to store your treasure? Is it going to be on earth, or is it going to be in heaven? The second choice is, what are you going to focus on? You know, in verse 22, he talks about your eyes being good, and if your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. If they're bad, it's full of darkness. You've got to have the right focus. If you focus on spiritual things, on heavenly things, your light, your eyes, your body will be full of light. But if you've got the wrong focus, it's all going to go downhill. You know, the third choice is, what's going to be the master in your life? Because the Bible says we can't serve two masters. Either we will love the one and hate the other, or we'll serve the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. And we have got to make a decision, what is going to be number one? You know, and he talks about in verse 25 onwards, he's talking about not being anxious or not being worried. You know, the fact is that we can choose either to trust God and not to worry, or we can choose to focus on our own lives and be plagued with anxiety and worry about every little thing. But instead, we've got a choice to make. Either it's going to be worth worrying about our bodies, or we're going to be worried about, or we're going to be focused on God's kingdom. Jesus encourages us in verse 33 to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You know, the bottom line is, we cannot take anything with us when we die, but we can send it on ahead. And that's what the treasure principle is really all about. And if you haven't got the book, by the way, please go ahead and get a copy today and start reading. We cannot take anything with us when we die, but we can send it all on ahead. How? We can store up treasures in heaven. How do we do that? Well, we make sure we give first and foremost to God. You know, that video clip we saw, he talked about just this whole idea of a tithe being a starting point. If, as Christians, we understand that everything we have, it belongs to God in the first place, then it's not so much a question of what am I going to give to God, it's how much am I going to keep for myself. Because it's all God's to begin with. And that includes not just your time, but your money, but it includes your time, it includes your energy, it includes your passion, it's everything. What are you going to keep for yourself? Ultimately, we just need to keep enough to survive. That's all we need. You know what's interesting? I was reflecting yesterday, because Julie and I were talking about this whole idea of the treasure principle. And one of the things that Julie was sharing with me was, you know, it's easier for you than it is for me. And I don't know if that's true or not. But one point she made was, you know, you seem to be grateful about anything and everything. And honestly, I think that's probably true. But as we were discussing it and reflecting on it, the reason why I think that I have a very deep sense of appreciation for everything that God has blessed us with is because I think growing up, we didn't have very much when I was a kid. Growing up, we had very little, in fact. And those of you who've been around for any length of time, you know a lot about my background and my upbringing. But for us, in our family, we had very little. We had very... We shared a toilet with three other families when I was growing up. The toilet was outside. It was just to get there, you took your life in your hands. Because even walking down the stairs, and you've seen a picture of the house where I grew up, the stairs were all broken and rickety, and they had no banisters and no struts between the banisters, and it was just so you're literally you're hugging the wall as you walk down the stairs, and there was something like six flights of stairs to get to from where we lived on the top floor of the house to get down to the ground floor to get to the toilet. And so, because my mother, we grew up in a single parent family. And myself and my two brothers, my younger sister died when she was just very young, and so it was my mum looking after us three boys, and so to make it easier, if we wanted to go to loo, we had a potty in our bedroom. Our bedroom was also our living room and our dining room, and that's where we all slept, myself and my two brothers, in the night. You know, if you want to go to the loo, you didn't go downstairs because that was dangerous, and so you used the potty. And sometimes, as little kids do, it was somewhere around the dark and you missed the potty. And we still give my brother a hard time over the fact that he didn't just miss the potty, he went to the loo in my mother's shoes. And so we still joke about that to this day, but we had rain coming in through the ceiling, we had damp and moss growing on the walls and fungus and mold and everything else. That was life for us growing up. And you know, we didn't have very much. We had very little to eat. When it came to toys, I remember the very first time I got a Christmas present. It was when I was about 8 or 9 years old, and it came from one of the guys in church. He dressed up in a Santa outfit, and he came around and knocked on our door and had a sack of toys for myself and my two brothers, and we were blown away. We thought, wow, so this is what Christmas is all about. Well, of course, that's not what Christmas is all about, but it was amazing. But so often we focus on, oh, I want to make sure I give lots of stuff for my kids. I want to make sure they've got the best of everything. Is that really in their best interest? Really? You know, of course, as parents, we want the best for our children. Julie and I want the best for our kids. We want to provide for their needs. But it's providing for needs, and then it's given even more than that. And so often, we the lines are blurred. And so we go way beyond the needs, and we go into the indulgences. And I'm not saying it's wrong, necessarily, to indulge your child once in a while. That's not what I'm saying. But what are we really instilling? I know for me, the fact that we grew up with very little, it's made me extremely appreciative of what I've been blessed with. You know, for ourselves, sometimes we get confused about how much we really need. Sometimes we feel like we need the big screen TV. We need the newer model phone. We need a nicer car. You know, Jack, well, he was in a car crash just on Friday, and his car was written off, but to be honest, it wasn't much write off in the first place. And so now he's been given a courtesy car, and he's fired up. He's driving around in his Peugeot 208. It's nice. It's comfortable. It works, and he's really encouraged by that. And he's got that car until they sort out the insurance stuff, and so he's trying to delay the resolution as long as possible. But you know, the bottom line is, sometimes we think we need something when really we just want something. In life, we've got to understand what's really important. Just after we die, just after life ends, we're going to be looking back and thinking, I could have done this. I could have done that. There's so much more I could have given. But don't have those regrets. Don't have that. Don't even live so that you're going to have those regrets. Instead, make a choice now, because honestly, anything we sacrifice now in this life, anything that we give, whether it's to God, whether it's for God's work, given to the poor, which again is a huge thing that Jesus talks about in the Bible, is selling our possessions and giving to the poor. You know, whatever we give, we, after life ends, we will not regret. We will not have looking back thinking, oh, I wish I'd kept this for myself. Instead, we're going to be glad that we gave whatever we did. We're going to have a sense of, I'm just so encouraged that I was able to sacrifice and to give to God and to live that kind of a life. Just in closing, just to remind you of the two keys. The first key is simply that everything belongs to God in the first place. It's not ours, it's all God's. We are just His managers. We manage the assets God has entrusted to us for a short period of time. They don't belong to us. When it comes to giving, this time of the year is an excellent opportunity to review, how am I doing? How am I doing in terms of my contribution? Am I even giving a tithe? And again, even as you heard in that video clip, we don't talk about giving a tithe. That was part of the old covenant. We talk about giving our hearts and giving sacrificially. But a tithe was a good starting place. How are you even doing on that? The second thing to remember is everything, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And we want our hearts to be with God. We want our hearts to be set on heavenly things. I want to encourage us is to give our hearts, to give our best. And ultimately, God will bless us. He'll take care of us. But also, our treasure will be in heaven. Amen.
Thanks, Mike. It's funny how some of the scriptures we look at relating to Matthew 6, giving financially, worrying. One of the great things that Jesus does is he doesn't write down specifically what you need to do. And for some of our minds are saying, okay, you know, it's not clear what I need to do then. What do I need? Because we're all different, amen? We've all got different circumstances. But the beauty of God is He really, and the scriptures look today, it talks about, I think, our hearts. Really our hearts. And Mike encouraged us, I think it's a great thing to do, is which we'll be doing as well, is to review your, or look at the year ahead, and make some decisions for the year ahead. In every area of your life, I know he talked a little bit about when we first became Christians, our love for God being exciting. And he talks about when you get married, the same thing, and then you lose that. Or there's something else you said when you become a Christian, too. These things, we're excited at first, and after a while, we just fall into a state of apathy. Just surviving. And it is very hard. It is hard to fight for freshness. I don't know about you, but it is for me. To be fresh, to stop and think about these things and think, wow, it is, I just appreciate being saved. Why? Because I've been a Christian for 25 years and I've forgotten some of how important it is. And let me encourage us all to try and capture that freshness. Because that will help us to make the right decisions, won't it? If we really love the fact that we're saved, we'll make the right decisions. If we're not grateful that we're saved, can't be bothered. I'll put in as little as I can. If you're not grateful about your marriage, I'll just make it do. Because you're not excited. So the first thing really for me, and hopefully for all of us, is just to get excited about our faith. Excited about the fact that God loves us, that we're saved. And then it's easier to make those decisions. To put God first, to give financially, and all those kind of things. So I know we'll be doing that in our household. We'll be reviewing, looking at the year ahead, to give our best to God. Thanks a lot, Mike. Let's all stand, sing a final song, and we'll have a great time of fellowship.